Sahanao bhunaktu sahavīryaṃ karavāvahai tejasvināvadhītamastamavidviṣāvahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantih Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Śrīla Jīva Goswāmī remarks, O Uddhava, I cannot reject Kubja. To show that he cannot reject the people of Braja, if he cannot reject Kubja, he went to her house. Right? So, by going to Kubja's house lower, how can he reject someone on a more developed platform? He went... I offer respects to Kubja, whom Krishna visited with thoughts of giving her mercy and enjoyed without restrictions. After Uddhava returned, after many days, Krishna realized with details from Uddhava how his father and others in Braja had been somewhat pacified. One day he went to the house of Kubja, who was burning with desire for her own enjoyment. Was Krishna full of desire also? No, he was not. He desired to please her. He considered, she offers cosmetics to me. Thus I must please her to be free of debt. How did he know her desires and why did he desire to fulfill them? He should do this since he gives benefit to all as the soul of all beings, Sarvatma, because he sees everything, Sarvadarshana. He knew her desires. So he knows her desires because he's in everyone's heart. And so accordingly, how they approach, how they worship, how they see, that's how he reciprocates. Right, because so she was seeing in this way in connection with him, so he reciprocates in this way. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. Trivakra's home was opulently appointed with expensive furnishings and replete with sensual accoutrements meant to inspire sexual desire. There were banners, rows of strung pearls, canopies, fine beds, and sitting places. And also fragrant incense, oil lamps, flower garlands, and aromatic sandalwood paste. Right, so we have to understand from this is that these are the things that inspire sensual desire. Right, so we're talking on a different level here. Right, okay. When Trivakra saw him arriving at her house, she at once rose from her seat in a flurry. Coming forward graciously with her girlfriend, she respectfully greeted Lord Achyuta by offering him an excellent seat and other articles of worship. Why in here then it would mention her getting up in that? One is that respectful aspect in that. That's proper. You're sitting, you get up. But here it mentioned from her seat. Right? From her seat. Because the point is there's six things that girls, it's theirs. You don't use it. One of them is their seat. Right? Their seat, their bed, their ornaments, like this. I don't remember the others, but there's certain things.
No bones?
Huh?
Bones?
That's their ornaments.
Just to make sure.
It's not how the phone works, it's what the phone is. You know, you make a phone call, what do you care what it is? But it has to be an ornament. So, whichever phone is the ornament, that's the one you have, right? And so that she got up from her seat, that means she's in her seat. She's comfortable there. That's her place, but she gets up from that to greet Krishna. So it's more than just she stood up. Otherwise, it would say when Krishna came, she stood up to greet him. You know, but there's more to it here. Because as a girl, then it's her place, her seat. She gets up from there, right? And she gets up with her assistants, right? Yes, and in a flurry, then, you know, just she's excited, you know, so she's, you know, how to do everything nicely. Coming forward graciously with her girlfriends, she respectfully greeted Lord Chuta by offering him an excellent seat and other articles of worship. So you see the formality that's here, because they have the Aishwarya aspect. So it's that the gopis, they're also surrounded by their friends and everything. They do everything as a group. But here, then, it brings out that aspect of the opulence and other things like that. Right? Coming forward graciously with her girlfriends, so then the whole mood that is there, they're all together, so it has that more element of opulence. Okay. Offering him an excellent seat and other articles of worship. Uddhava also received a seat of honor, since he was a saintly person, but he simply touched it and sat on the floor. Yes.
Why would Krishna bring Uddhava in?
It's your friend. It's coming up. Because there's multiple aspects, but the point is they're close friends, so then there's not a problem. Like that. See, in the Vedic culture, you don't have as much elements of I think it was. No, yeah, we've got it. Then Lord Krishna, imitating the manners of human society, quickly made himself comfortable on an opulent bed. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, as one usually does in such situations, Krishna entered the bedroom of Kubja without wasting time. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Tribhakra prepared herself by bathing, anointing her body, and dressing in fine garments, by putting on jewelry, garlands, and perfume, and also by chewing betel nut, drinking fragrant liquor, and so on. Because the idea is about, it's the feminine experience. Like that. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the refined elements. So that's what engages all the senses. So then she's trying to do all this nicely for Krishna. She then approached Lord Madhava with shy, playful smiles and coquettish glances. How would you?
Coquettish.
Huh?
French coquette.
Okay. Because that would come from France. That's not... The Anglo-Saxons didn't come up with that one. You know, if it was something smashing, killing, squashing, then that would have been Anglo-Saxon. But this is... Yeah. This is French. Coquettish. Calling forward his beloved, who was anxious and shy at the prospect of this new contact, the Lord pulled her by her bangled hands onto the bed. Thus he enjoyed with that beautiful girl, whose only trace of piety was her having offered ointment to the Lord. 32. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, the words fearful and new association, Navasangam, indicate for the less intelligent that Kubja had never been enjoyed by anyone else. Though she was beautiful, she was protected because of her hunchback. She had a small amount of credit because she had offered ointments to Krishna, but she did not have piles of credit. Right? So it said that the cowherd boys and that, you know, when they see Krishna interacting or Krishna's sons and one of them sitting on Krishna's lap, then they're talking about the huge amount of pious credits that they must have had. So here the acharyas are pointing out that she didn't have a pile of credit. She had one credit. Yes.
And still she was called a society girl. On what basis?
On what basis? I mean, there's a certain volume. Only when you hit 500, then you're a bona fide society girl. Or
I don't know. Maybe.
Is she married?
No.
Right. How is her place arranged?
That's another question.
You didn't hear the definition?
No, I don't understand, because previously she used to be a hunchback.
She's a hunchback, meaning she's never been enjoyed by anyone.
And she lived like that?
She's a society girl, but she was waiting for Krishna because he said he was coming.
That's a bit different definition.
See, as you have in the Vedic culture, you have three levels of, you know, what we'd say the society girls. So the top level is they're very refined, very cultured, then everything's about the finity of the experience and all that in a more complete and grander way. They perform pious activities, they give in charity, they do all kinds of things. They're known in the society, they're famous in society. And when you have these big public performances and different things, they'll be the ones that will come do dancing. They will come and greet people, give garlands, seat people. They will be the feminine aspect that's there within that. That's a common thing that will be applied. Everybody can appreciate. Everybody can, you understand? So in other words, your general wouldn't do that. You understand? Only in private, then you would see, like when Sudama Brahman comes, then Rukmini is there helping, but actually offering the things is Krishna. All right? So when you have a woman offering these things, doing, then that would generally be for these girls. Does that make sense? So in other words, we're dealing on a level that's, you know, we're thinking this is on the lower level of the Vedic culture. Yes, but in our case, we have to look up to look down. Does that make sense? Yeah. So she's on that level. The second level is that through their feminine graces, then they interact and like that. So you won't have the grandeur of it, you won't have the refinement of it, but it will be feminine. Does that make sense? Jai Ho, sir. Welcome. Does that make sense? So that will be the second level. Right? The third level is, you know, light the cigarette and when it's finished then your time's up. You understand? So there's a difference there. So nowadays you don't really have as much of this. I think you could say the geisha girls, is that how you say it in Japan? That would be the closest thing you get to nowadays, or some of these royal kind of consorts and stuff like that. That courtiers and that, on that level, but it's going to be rare. We don't see them like this. The second level, that would be more like your escorts and things like that, that have more culture, they're educated and this, but it's about having feminine companionship, right? But the third level is then what we would call the girls in the window in the tiger outfit, you know, like that. That's so we're talking about she's on that top level. So it's a very different kind of thing. They have their own building, they have their own people, they have some of the big ones, they have their own guards, they have their own management system. It's a whole thing going on. Does that make sense? You know, they sponsor things, they give in charity, they do yajnas, they're very another class. So what we're talking about here, it's the same principle, is that the availability of the feminine nature, feminine graces outside of what would be standard, but you're talking about something refined, so this level it would only be for high society. Is that
main point, they are not married, right?
No, they're not married. Here they're not married. Higher planets, they might be married, but here they're not married.
Also, Maharaj, earlier she was supplying sandalwood for Kamsa.
Yes, she was supplying sandalwood for Kamsa, but because she's a hunchback, everyone will leave her alone. We move to the next chapter. So we missed the Brahmar Gita. We just finished that in the previous. Okay. She had a small amount of credit because she had offered ointments to Krishna, but she did not have piles of credit like the sadhana siddhas amongst the Braja women and Mathura women. Right? So they had more credit. She had less. That's why she's given as the example the Samanya level of this conjugal interaction. Simply by smelling the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet, Tribhakra cleansed away the burning lust Cupid had aroused in her breast, chest, and eyes. With her two arms, she embraced between her breasts her lover, Sri Krishna, the personification of bliss, and thus gave up her long-standing distress. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, it is stated in Bhagavad Gita that one must be freed of all material sinful reactions before one can engage in transcendental loving service to the Lord. Simply by supplying sandalwood pulp to Krishna, Kubja was thus rewarded. She was not trained to worship Krishna in any other way. Therefore, she wanted to satisfy him by her profession. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord can be worshipped even by one's profession, if it is sincerely offered for the pleasure of the Lord. Right, because she only knew how to bring ointments, how to put, that's all she knew. As stated in the Vedic versions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has multi-potencies, according to expert opinion. Kubja represents the Bhu Shakti potency of Krishna, just as Srimati Radharani represents his Chit Shakti potency. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, having thus gotten the hard-to-get Supreme Lord by the simple act of offering him bodily ointment, unfortunate Trivakra submitted to that Lord of Freedom the following request. Footnote 33. Sridhar Swami explains that although to ordinary eyes she seemed to beg for material sex pleasure, in fact, she was a liberated soul at this point, right? Because she's offered ointment to Krishna. That was her credit. Then remembering Krishna, then now having Krishna coming and seeing him, sitting with him, embracing him, now she's become purified. So at this point she's liberated. Trivakra said, "O beloved, please stay here with me for a few days more and enjoy. I cannot bear to give up your association." O lotus-eyed one, footnote 34. The BBT purport states, the word Ambu means water and Rahu means rising. Thus, Ambu Rahu means the lotus flower which rises up from the water. Ruha, it's not Rahu, Ruha. Ambu Ruha. Lord Krishna is called Ambaruhekshana, the lotus-eyed one. He is the source and embodiment of all beauty, and naturally Trivakra was attracted to him. However, the Lord's beauty is spiritual and pure, and his intention was not to gratify himself with Trivakra, but rather to bring her to the point of pure spiritual existence, Krishna consciousness. Promising her the fulfillment of this lusty desire, considerate Krishna, Lord of all beings, paid Trivakra his respects and then returned with Uddhava to his own supremely opulent residence. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, there is a warning in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is not very easily worshipped, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the chief amongst the Vishnu Tattvas. To worship Krishna or to have association with him is not very easy. Specifically, there is a warning for devotees attracted to Krishna through conjugal love. It is not good for them to desire sense gratification by direct association with Krishna. Actually, the activities of sense gratification are material. In the spiritual world, there are symptoms like kissing and embracing, where there is no sense gratificatory process as it exists in the material world. This warning is specifically for those known as sahajiyas, who take it for granted that Krishna is an ordinary human being. They desire to enjoy sex life with him in a perverted way. In a spiritual relationship, sense gratification is most insignificant. Anyone who desires a relationship of perverted sense gratification with Krishna must be considered less intelligent. His mentality requires to be reformed. Right? So the point is it's not about the sense gratification. It's about the interaction with Krishna. Right, so it's pleasing him through whatever is the natural relationship that you have. So here in the conjugal, then for the gopis, and then it's simply that trying to please Krishna. It's the mood, because it's the affection that attracts Krishna. Because the technical points of all this is Krishna himself. He says in Gita that he is sexual activity. You know, like that. If it's done according to religious principles, then that's your standard. If it's done simply due to lust, then that's also, that power of that is all Krishna. So the point is it's Krishna already. So what's Krishna have to gain from it? So for Krishna, it's the aspect of affection for him that is important. So that's then what is the interaction. So it has these nuances of conjugal affection that love can be expressed. So it's not material. Because Krishna has no material desire to fulfill. because material means not connected to him. Right? And so we look at sense gratification. We call it sense because it's not connected with him. We try to please Krishna's senses. But for Krishna, it's not sense gratification. Right? Because he's seeing it as a relationship with the devotee. So there's no, it's not about his senses. That's why he likes the devotee. He pleases his senses. No, it's because of their affection. And then he pleases their senses. But it's not about the senses. It's about the affection that Krishna has. Right? Like the gopis, as soon as they heard that Krishna was also feeling separation from them, then they felt satisfaction. Right? Because they knew that they're not alone. It's not that he was there with them, then he left, and now they're alone. It's that he's also feeling separation. So even though physically they're not together, but in their mood, within their heart, then that affection, that's there. So then they're not alone. So that's the important element. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami comments, he gave her the boon she desires, kama varanam. I will come and enjoy with you. This shows she did not have the pure prema of the gopis, right? Because the gopis were just how to please Krishna. But he's telling her, I'll come and enjoy with you. Because it was about her enjoyment, but in connection with Krishna. Oh, dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about in the forest path. Right? So it's just about Krishna. The consideration is Krishna. It doesn't say that they're dealing with him for their own. It's about the service to Krishna. There's a difference here. You have to be, it's not the form of it. If we're trying to see the difference in form, we'll never see the difference. It's in the mood. You have to shift the consciousness. That's what makes the difference between the pure spiritual affection of those in the spiritual world and the material world. Because the material world is about what we're going to get from it. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just like, let's say I make something with potatoes, okay? And I eat that, right? I've made that because I want to eat that. And I sit down and eat it, and I enjoy that. That's called sense gratification, right? Now, devotional service means taking the same preparation, offering it to Krishna. Then when you honor that, then you're thinking about the connection that this is Krishna. Krishna's eaten this. You understand? So now we're dealing in the spiritual platform. But it was the method of cooking the potatoes different. It was the method of eating different, right? It means materially you pick it up, put it in your mouth, but because now you're a pure devotee, you take it and smash it on the top of your head. Right? Or let it soak in through your navel like the babies do, right? You know, they're supposed to be pure, so. Right? You understand? There's no difference. Will the taste be different in the way of that you cook, maybe, yes, transcendental, but I mean, let's say you made a salty preparation. Now that it's spiritual, it'll be sweet. You know? You know, it's like You know, it's like you offer, you know, these salty yellow potatoes, and then after the offering, they come back and they're caramelized, you know, with powdered sugar on top.
That is halwa. It's potato halwa.
In chunks? Okay, yes, it's potato halwa. Yes, so it comes back as potato halwa. So now that means you know that if you want the salty ones, you offer potato halwa, and then it'll come back together.
No, you offer it without devotion.
Oh, offer it without devotion, then you get it back. Yeah, but then you defeat the whole purpose, because then next life you'll end up as a potato. So yeah, that's not not a great life, you know. Yes, so in other words, don't look at the externals. Look at the mood that is there. That's what makes the difference. That's the difference. Because gold and iron are both metal. So if you're looking at it from metaller, they're metal. But for one who knows, there's a big difference between iron and gold. You know, for Valentine's Day, one would be very happy to get solid cast iron ornaments, right? Nice earrings and everything like that, you know. No? Okay. So gold would be better. Yes, okay. Just for everybody's information, just in case you didn't know. Okay. Does that make sense? So we have to be able to see this difference. Right? Then it works very nicely. We shouldn't be arguing over the externals of it. But even here, you see it's arranged, the externals of it also.
Maharaj, So external and material and spiritual world is the same, but only the internal is the difference, biggest difference.
The external in the material and spiritual world are the same, basically. I mean, it's you're dealing with inferior and superior. It's just like, you know how you say, here you have an ambassador and somewhere else you might have a, you know, Ferrari or something. So, like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's better. Because the point is the conscious, like here, you have gold, right? So here, gold is gold, right? Nice. In the heavenly planets, it's the same gold, but it has a nice fragrance. It smells good, right? In the spiritual world, it's conscious. So it even gets even better, right? So there you don't have the time and space, this and that. In other words, it's a superior place, but the form of the mechanics of it are the same. Otherwise, how does the reflection work? The understanding is the arm in the mirror works by the same mechanical concepts as the original arm. You understand? But the original arm is better than the arm in the mirror because you can do so much more with it. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point. Okay. The gopis' happiness, so that was the gopis. The gopis' happiness was caused by Krishna's happiness, right? Because that's the whole point. Kubja wants to fulfill her own desire with Krishna. So it's connected to Krishna. So it'll be purified, but it's still about their own desire. But still he accepted Kubja, though there were thousands of Lakshmis in Mathura. This was his supreme mercy. The cause of his mercy is explained. He was Manadha. He gave her respect. Just as he came with Uddhava, he left with Uddhava. Following custom, he went with Uddhava, fixed in the highest principles of Dharma, in order to avoid criticism from the public. Mm-hmm. Actually, he went with Uddhava because he had great affection for Uddhava. He did all this according to his own desire for pastime, since he was the Lord of all beings, Sarveshwara. Right? So, he went because he liked to be with Uddhava. But at the same time, as by being with Uddhava, then it also, then people can't complain. You know, so he just went to visit. Right? That place was endowed with a wealth, Riddhimat, of all objects to be used in service of all types of devotees. Therefore, it was a suitable place to go. Because right? There were all these nice things, but they're putting all these nice things together for sense gratification. Right? So in other words, the senses being pleased, that you put them all together and it has a particular purpose, then it comes out, it takes on that flavor. But actually, sense gratification is a generic thing. So in other words, everything that's there could be used very nicely for the devotees. Like that. The sandalwood paste, the garlands, the ornaments, the nice cloth, all these different things, the sitting places, they could all be nicely used. So because of that, then it was a suitable place, and so therefore he took Uddhava along also.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, can we say that Krishna is giving a special mercy to Kubja, or it is...
Spiritual mercy.
It is special.
Special.
Special mercy.
It is special. Anything connected with Krishna is special. So even ourselves, that we get to go take darshan to the deities and this and that, that's special mercy.
Yes.
You know, because it's not that because you went there you get. It's according to Krishna, because you can go there and there can be millions of crowds and the busload comes in and you want to take darshan or Radha Madhava and you find yourself in the Panchatattva temple. You know, so it's just, you know, it's just the way it goes, or you know, like that. So it's up to Krishna. So it's all special mercy. So that's the thing. According to what service has been rendered, Krishna reciprocates. That's the whole point being made in this chapter, is that. As we see, is here even Kubja only has, you know, basically one piety to her credit. Still, Krishna interacts, let alone those who, the sadhana siddhas, who then, by performing their sadhana, now have become gopis in Vrindavan. Like that. So much greater is that. So, point is this, even the littlest thing Krishna will reciprocate. And if there's more, he reciprocates even greater. Oh yeah, we were turning the page. There is a story in Mathura Pradesh Harivamsa. In a previous life, Kubja was a princess. She developed attraction for Krishna by hearing his qualities, being glorified by Narada. Later, the king asked Narada for a suitable groom for her. He said, "I will ask the princess, who does she desire?" When asked, she said, "I want the person whom you glorified as the supreme to be my husband." When Narada said that it was impossible, she said, "I will marry him after millions of births." Hearing that, Narada taught her a way to attain Krishna as her husband, and she performed austerities for a long time. Then a voice from the sky said, "You will be the hunchback Kubja in your next life, and by my touch become beautiful. Then I will be your husband." Then she was born in a merchant's house belonging to Kamsa's best minister. And Kamsa assigned her to supply fragrances to him. Thus she attained mercy by offering him fragrance as expressed in verse 8. Or this history may be from a different day of Brahma. Right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, this is how the things work. So it can be that this is this Kubja, or it can be another Kalpa. It doesn't matter. Like that. The point is that that there was that idea to be attracted to Krishna, and so then that then put her in a position to be there with Krishna. In any case, the point is the service rendered. She rendered some service to Krishna, and Krishna's reciprocating that. That's the whole point. That's the point to gain. We shouldn't be arguing over, well, how much is there? We said it was only one thing. Here it appears to be more, and we get out our little, you know, measurement thing and try to... This is not what the acharyas, you know, will find favorable. It's about trying to appreciate that point that's there. Does that make sense? So, yes. It said Mathura Pradesh Harivamsa. So it's about Harivamsa is the book. This is Srila Jiva Goswami. So it must be his commentary on this verse. So this must be maybe, is this Krama Sandarbha? It's Krama Sandarbha.
I just wonder because we also get background stories to these personalities in Garda Samhita, for example, where it says that she was previously Sukhanaka.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't heard our Acharyas quote Garda Samhita.
Oh.
So I just wonder why that...
It's a matter of what will bring out the mood. Because you're dealing here with a nice conjugal mood and that and about the thing. So whatever is the case, because in any case, if she's involved in this activity, then she will be in that position in so many of the Krishna's pastimes. So then the one most suitable is the one you bring out, because you can't bring out all of them, since, you know, but we've already been through half of the time of Brahma, so that means about 250,000 manvantars. And so then, you know, you understand. So you bring out the one suitable, because this has been, it's a refined thing, the society girl, the fineness that's there, and that, then you bring out the aspect that she's a princess. But if you're bringing out some other aspect, then you might bring out the Suparnika thing. It just depends upon what you want to do. So it's just choosing the right example for the situation to enhance the mood. Because it's all about, because especially now in 10th canto, it's about that mood of that affection for Krishna, the relationship with Krishna. Before that, the first 9 cantos, then the tattva aspect is much more prominent. Though rasa is there, and those who appreciate rasa can see it all the way through. In other words, the points that are being made in the 10th canto are already made in the first canto. You know, especially in those first 3 chapters, they're all made. But more, it becomes more obvious, you could say, in the 10th canto. It's emphasized. And so then they'll use the suitable example, because facts aren't actually the important thing. It's what you do with the facts that's important. So here's that, you could say is that, oh, this is this and this fact that, but it's actually, well, what's the effect of that fact? So the effect of her being a princess and then doing that, then that has a better appreciation of the fineness that's going on here. Because with Suparnika, then you think of the grossness. And we want to avoid the grossness. That's why Krishna went and took Uddhava with him, is to avoid any criticism like that. And so, and like with Suparnika, he got criticized for that. You know, but for the princess, then there isn't. So then it will match more nicely the flavor. Is that working?
Can you also comment on the reference of Garga Samhita? Because I don't know of any instances where Acharya
is mentioned. I'm not sure. I can't say. I don't have any. Have you come across anything? Garga Samhita?
Very rare.
Very rare, but you've come across.
Sometimes.
Very rare.
Very rare. So it seems to be rare. So it could be, it's just a matter of you use the, it's just like in, let's say, I think it's Skanda Purana, Linga Purana, these ones, these big, and they're big. One of them's like 100,000 verses. But I think there's maybe one to three verses from the whole thing that they'll quote. So it's not that you couldn't quote more, but it's just that others have a better example, or, you know, it specifically works in that point. So unless it would be a discussion that would specifically warrant bringing that one out, then you wouldn't. So it's not that it necessarily is any less. It's just that it only has those few. You know, it's just like from Bhagavatam, then there'll be so many, like Vedanta Sutra, every sutra, there's Bhagavatam verses that connects with, because it's the natural, you know, the Bhagavatam is the natural commentary. And, but Upanishadic sutras, then it's about discussions on the Upanishads, but there's only so many verses quoted. So the whole, you know, Vedanta Sutra will be quote a very limited amount of Upanishadic verses to establish the points. But the Bhagavatam, then there can be hundreds and hundreds of quotes, because they actually match better. Because it's not that the Upanishadic is not exactly saying that, but because the Upanishadic language, people may not catch that. You know, raso vai saha. And that. But a Bhagavatam verse will be a much greater explanation. It's like Jiva Goswami's Harinamamrita Vyakarana. Is that it'll give a whole paragraph to explain the point. While Panini then gave a sutra. You know, like, you know, that, like the Martian Sutra, Ak, you know, like that one, you know. So sometimes they're that, or just, you know, one of as short as they can be, the better, because it's exact, because it's a sutra. So as far as the literary perfection of sutra-ness, then you can say Panini did an excellent job. But as far as people reading the sutras and understanding it, then Jiva Goswami did a better job, because just the Harinamamrita Vyakaran itself explains it. And then if you need, there's a little bit of commentary for those to get into technical detail. But for Panini Sutras, there's 3,000 sutras, but they'll say the Panini's work is 10,000 verses. That's because you need 7,000 verses to explain the 3,000. So that's, it's so big like that. But in Jiva Goswami's, the commentary will be much less. So it's just a matter of that. So I would expect that much of whatever Garga Samhita then is delineating is already delineated somewhere else, and that the story and the verse there explains in a very nice way. There's a specific why Garga Samhita is there, but the occasion for it to be spoken, or the elements that are already not spoken, then would have already, because Bhagavatam being the final presentation, it would have all the perfection of everything. So then you wouldn't need as much from all these other literatures. Does that work? Yeah. So that's the thing, is that in the Brahminical or devotional, brahminical, administrative, it's not volume that's important. It's application that's important. Mm-hmm. It's like in Manu, you have all the verses that are there, and by looking at it, by a common person would think that they all have equal weight. And so, you know, because there's so much volume, you would think that there's so many activities going on by kings that we can't relate to. But in actuality, all it is it's explaining everything that a king could possibly use in his lifetime. And a king may only use a half of that or a quarter of that. But if the occasion comes up, he knows what to do. But if the occasion doesn't come up, he wouldn't use it. So then you have, so the Garga Samhita would have, if that occasion comes up, that the conversation was going in that way, then it might have application. So who's speaking, who's it being spoken to, what's the occasion, that would also have a flavor on its application.
Canto 10. Yeah, Jiva Goswami consistently uses, you know, quotes from Harivamsa. So just to bring out the rasa aspect.
Jiva Goswami uses from Harivamsa quotes. Yeah. Okay. Then all through 10th canto he uses a lot. Yeah. Does that make sense? You know, just like generally you think of a Pancharatra as the deity worship aspect, which it does have. But its main thing is a kind of bringing one close to the Lord. So then in that, some will bring out more the philosophy of deity worship. Some Pancharatras will bring out more the daily duties of a Brahmin. Some will bring out the daily worship. Some will bring out the festivals. Some will bring out various kinds of festivals. So depending upon what was the discussion, it will come out. So that way there's 108 Pancharatras, but basically it's one text, you know, meaning one book, meaning it's all about how your life, daily life, can connect to the Lord. And then they'll bring out different details. So depending on what you want, then you bring from here, there. So Hari Bhakti Vilas is then an encyclopedia of that. Bringing whatever it is you want to do, then they have all these different things. So that. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verses 7 through 9 in Bhakti Sandarbha. So the previous one was Krama Sandarbha. Just as many attain the goal by absorbing the mind in the Lord by bhakti, according to rules, many attain the goal by kama and others and other bhavas, which are not according to the rules. They give up hatred and fear among the various bhavas, because fear is connected with hatred and also produces sin. Some consider kama to be a sin also. The following should be considered. Is kama for the Lord itself sinful? Or is it sinful if kama means to think of Krishna as a husband? Or is it only sinful if one thinks of Krishna as one's illicit lover? If kama for the Lord is itself sinful, it is because it is classed with hatred and other qualities. Is it because it is classed with hatred and other qualities being sinful by its nature? Or is it sinful because one thinks of Krishna as a lusty person or kisses him, though he is most pure? Or is kama sinful because kama is said to be a sin in scriptures? Right? So you're bringing out all the different points. Right? What will be all the different, views. The views. The shamsha is that the opposing party might bring up.
Yes.
Whatever it would be, just like the vichars, different angles of vision. So this is different angles of vision of those who are not appreciated, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of vichar would be the, you know, different angles that are in support of.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. That way then he doesn't have to deal with each one at a time, which then you always just bring up the next because he forgot the last, right? Like that. Okay, so then he comments, it cannot be sinful by nature, being clashed with hatred, anger, etc., because it is said, quote, since even Shishupal, who hated Krishna, again achieved his spiritual body as an associate by thinking of him, then what to speak of Lord's dear Gopi, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-13, right? So it can't be classified like that. So in other words, on the material platform, these qualities, they get in the way, so they're not progressive on the material platform. Because by these, you don't perform the religious activities. Right? So, but the religious activities are to please Krishna, or to connect to Krishna. So, if you're performing the religious activity connected to Krishna, that's the perfection of it. Now here, they're using something negative, but connecting it to Krishna. So because it's connected, it gets purified. It's not as ideal. So you see the dealings of Krishna with the gopis and the dealings of Krishna with Shishupal have a slight different flavor, you know, like that. And, you know, I guess, you know, that, what's it? Yeah, it means that the spinning of the head and all these things are there, but the spinning of the head with Shishupal and with the gopis is slightly different, because theirs is still connected to their shoulder, Shishupal's is not, you know. So Shishupal's, you could even maybe bring about, you know, the rolling aspect, you know, like that. Yeah, so right, spinning's just, a, you know, 180 degrees, but Shishupal got the fuller benefit. It was 360 degree, you know, the rolling. You know, so, yeah. In this verse, hatred is criticized and kama is praised. These persons are called Priyaha. The gopis are not at fault because kama is especially filled with priti or affection. The gopis' kama is actually prema only, because its affection for the Lord is just using that as a medium. Right? Well, it says even Shishupal, who hated, got this platform. He got liberated, and from that platform, remembering Krishna, then he went back to his original place. But it's not that the hatred itself is glorified. Right? That's what's being pointed out here, is that it's the connection to Krishna that's being glorified. But the gopis, their connection and the kama is being glorified. Because it's not actually lust, it's prema. So there's a difference there. They have no desire for their own happiness, but think only of what will make Krishna happy, right? Shishupal was thinking of his own happiness. He was not on any occasion ever thinking of Krishna's happiness, right? At least not in the external form of the pastime, right? The love of Kumja, however, is criticized because it lacks the gopi's pure intention of pleasing Krishna alone. She being predominantly desirous of her own enjoyment. That is made clear when Sukadev praises her love for its effects, purifying her of love. He doesn't glorify her love, he glorifies the effect of it. Just like with Shishupal, then the hatred, we're glorifying the effect of it, not the hatred itself. Yeah. Oh. Does that make sense? That's the advantage of the acharyas, they bring out the fine points, right? Because otherwise we would not necessarily catch the fine points. Okay, quote. Okay, from Bhagavatam. Simply by smelling the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet, Trivakra cleansed away the burning desire Cupid had aroused in her breast, chest, and eyes. With her two arms, she embraced between her breasts her lover, Krishna, the personification of bliss, and thus she gave up her long-standing distress. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.48.7. Preeti finally manifested in her. Right? Oh, beloved, please stay with me for a few days more and enjoy. I cannot bear to give up your association, O lotus-eyed one. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.48.9. Right? So before that, she just wanted to enjoy with it. Now it's that she wants that association, that affection for Krishna has arisen by that of purification. So we see is that whatever it is, if it's connected to Krishna, one will be purified. But we see is that the negative may not necessarily always have the greatest ways that they're reciprocated by Krishna.
It mentions Preeti manifested her in her.
Preeti,
Preeti
yes.
Is always selfless.
Preeti is selfless.
Okay. It's selfless. It's a question.
Oh, it's a question. Is Preeti selfless? Preeti means that affection, so naturally then there's going to be. Now, what level of affection, that love, then that's another thing. Like we see in Dwarka, it's one thing, Mathura another, and then in Vrindavan, it's another. So it just goes up through these things. Does that make sense? So then her position was considered the lowest and may have been raised from that point. So we're pointing out is how by approaching Krishna in this way, she's rendered service to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. How he reciprocates is to remove any material tinges that may be there in her service, so she comes to the platform of pure devotion. Right? So that's the whole process that's going on. That's what this chapter is describing. Right? And then we have the references to the others. They have also. So it's not that I will use something that's not recommended in Scripture, right? It means we have what's recommended in Scripture. That's the Dharma. We use that to please Krishna. We follow the Dharma, that's pious. We follow the Dharma to please Krishna, then that's devotional. Right? And if we're following because we want the benefits also, then that's mixed. Right? But now, so that works, that's what's recommended. Now if we follow what's not recommended, but we want to engage it to please Krishna, then still it has this same effect that the thing itself is not honorable. But because it's connected to Krishna, the effect of it, it will give a good result. But it doesn't mean that the side result of that impure aspect won't be there. Does that make sense? Like Shishupal got his head cut off. But the point is he did attain perfection. Right? So, because of the connection, he attained that glorious position and went back to Godhead. But it's not that the external aspect of the substandard method that he used didn't give some result. But it was done in such a way that he would never have that problem again, right? Because once your head's cut off, then you don't say any more insults. So then that problem's solved, and then he goes back to Godhead. Do you understand? So here's bringing out a subtlety in how everything connects to what the difference is. So yes, everything can be connected to Krishna, but you have to know is what's the quality of it. In other words, the religious principle being connected will be considered greater. Using irreligious connected to Krishna will be considered less, but the connection to Krishna is the value, not what's connected. Right? What's connected is trash. But because you connected to Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. Right? But just on that level of what it is. So how much affection, that's all he's reciprocating. We don't see more. He'll spend more time with the gopis. He's spending not so much time with Kupya. Right? Does that make sense? So the reciprocation is there. Can we catch? Yes?
So Maharaj, the example of Kusha shows that everyone can become a pure devotee of Krishna.
Everyone can become a pure devotee. So we see is that the position that she took this lower level, but because Krishna connected to Krishna, it's there. But now, what about those who follow in the footsteps of the advanced personality, what they obtain? So it's even greater. So that's why we would follow. It means, for us, what does it matter? What it's about pleasing Krishna. So how do you please Krishna? So it's not that everyone sits around in an om sign and all that. You have to do something. So what would we do? So we would just do whatever we would think we would do, and that may or may not be so great, but at least that it's done to please Krishna, we get purified. But if we have the opportunity, then we hear from the great personalities what's recommended and follow in their footsteps, then we do what they do. So that's why we do what we do. Does that make sense? We do the things we do because that's recommended. Otherwise, what would we know? We don't know. We don't know Krishna. They know Krishna. That's why then we follow what they offer us. But by one's background, one may have so many things that we offer. Like Rupa Goswami says, you can offer a favorite article or food or clothes, something that is dear in your community or in your area or something like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you're in Naples and you offer buffalo mozzarella to Krishna. That's the best there. So you offer it, yeah. But if you're not in Naples, you offer, you know, the mozzarella from the cow's milk. Yeah, you know, just like that. You just offer, you know, it's because there it's very valued. So then you offer that because you want the best for Krishna. This is the best because of your conditioning. So you offer it, but it's not that the thing itself is glorious. It's the offering to Krishna that's glorious. Like that. Does that make sense? That's why even the Dharma we're giving up, let alone Adharma. Right? Then following Varnashram is given up because it's to please Krishna. Why would Adharma be, you know, it's like if we're attached to Adharma, that's not good. You know, we're attached to Dharma, that's better, but it's still not good. We're attached to Krishna, that's what's good. That's actually good. Does that make sense? And we use, since Krishna follows Dharma, you know, that was the point being made in the previous, why he took Uddhava with him, then therefore Dharma is a natural thing to use in his service. But if you don't know, then you use whatever you use. You don't know, so you use that. You know, it's just like the person goes to the temple, he hears that everything should be offered to Krishna because it's all coming from Krishna, and he understands that, he has faith in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he leaves the temple and he goes out and he drops in at, you know, McDonald's, gets his stuff, yes, and offers it to Krishna. Yes. So the intent of that, Krishna will accept. He's not going to eat what he's been offered. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's not religious, it's irreligious. But that principle that they will get purified. So now the desire to offer more. Now, because of that purification, they'll associate more with the devotees, associate more. Eventually, they learn, at some point, they learn that, you know, we offer vegetarians because that's what Krishna offers. Then we switch to that. Does that make sense? So like that, then it goes. You know, so then you just get the milkshake and the fries. You know, and then with time, you learn about, you know, what's cooked by devotees and the devotion. So then you make it yourself. And, you know, so there's a natural process. So the thing itself is not glorious. Mm-hmm. It's the offering to Krishna. What you see is that those things that are done and nicely done for Krishna, arranged by the pure devotees, those themselves are glorified. Like Krishna and Balaram, then they're going through the forest and Krishna's pointing out how the forest is glorifying Balaram by all the nice offerings of flowers and fruits, and the bees are buzzing and everything like that. So there, then, because it's about the principle, and it's non-different about Krishna's pleasure, there's no mix, therefore you don't have to make the difference between the primary and secondary. Mm-hmm. But when it's not on that platform, you make a distinction. So is it religious? Then that's a good offering. And of religious, what? Because there's unlimited religious functions, but the acharyas have recommended certain ones. So we'll stick to those. Does that make sense? But actually, it's doing it to please Krishna that actually is the point. Because Krishna is religion. Right? What is it? Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma comes from Krishna. So he is the Dharma. And he is the details of the Dharma. Right? Like it says, you know, in Gita, he is the yajna, he's the ritual, he's the mantra, he's the offering, he's the yajaman, he's the priest, he's the results, he's the ghee, he's the fire, you know, he's everything. So it's already him. So then what's the point? You're offering to him what's already him. So what can you add? The only thing you can add is the devotion. So in other words, the nice aspects, you know, the recommended aspects are what you offer. Krishna is everything, but a lot of those things are not recommended. Does that make sense? Like that. So the point is then those things, if that's where you're from, that's what you do, then you'll start there. But the point is from there, then you progress. Yes.
Yes. All right,
2 minutes.
When Krishna chooses to be, to kill ghee or mutton chura, is that because that process allows the biggest perception interaction, so it's very hard to do?
Not so much that it's bad. It's the butter is the thing. He doesn't steal the ghee because it's easier to make and stuff like that. It's like that. You know, ghee is messy while butter is, you know, holds together and stuff, you know. Like that. So the point is that they've made this with devotion, so Krishna comes and steals it. But it's not that, you know, he only eats the butter because it's more trouble, and then something else like boiling the milk, he doesn't drink the milk, and it's like that. Hey, what's the effort here? You know what I'm saying? So you don't stretch it like that. It's that devotion has gone into everything in Braja. That's why he interacts. But because of the parental rasa, then he goes and does this. He's not going and stealing their furniture. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he rolls up with a bullock cart and some of the cowherd boys are making a riot out back, so then the householders go out the back door, and then the other cowherd boys come and steal all the furniture and he goes off. Right? Because that doesn't complement parental rasa, but food does. You understand? You understand? The kid goes in the kitchen and steals cookies. You know, it's bad because he's stealing, but it's still cookies and that. If he goes into your purse and steals money, now we're talking, that's a different story. You know? Does that make sense? You know, borrows, matches out your credit cards, you know, all that stuff. Does that make sense? So it's just that it matches the parental rasa. Like that.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Sarva Vaishnava Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.